HarperCollins presents The Restless Sea by Vanessa DeHaan, read by Katie Scarf. Prologue. The roof stretches across the railway station like the skin of a drum, magnifying the sounds, the tapping and pounding of feet, the trains clanking, the rumble of wheels, the shout of a guard, the whistle of a porter. At the ticket office, there is no sense of where the queue ends or where it begins. A man bashes on the glass, his voice raised in anger, frustration. Tickets are scarce. Everybody here wants to get away, to follow the children who have been evacuated to safer parts of this now unsafe country. The air is sticky and humid. In the haze, little things stand out. Two sailors balancing on a stack of cases, one singing as the other accompanies him on a squeeze box. The drifting smoke from the newspaper seller's pipe, the neat rows of black and white print on his stand. A cluster of soldiers, their uniforms smart, the leather of their boots supple and clean, their dark, heavy rifles pulling at their shoulders. A policeman tails a group of suspicious-looking lads that trickle away from him like mercury, slipping through gaps that close as quickly as they open. He loses them again as they circle a girl dressed in a pale green coat, a cerise ribbon tied around her matching hat, a bright splash of colour among the drab browns and greys of suits and caps. The policeman glimpses the lads once more as they sidestep the expensive leather cases at the girl's feet. Then they are gone again, like the brief flash of the bracelet she is fiddling nervously with beneath the cuff of her jacket. Now you see it, now you don't. The sounds swirl into one cacophony, the sobs of children, the wails of babies, the tiny squeeze box and the guard shouting into the loudspeaker, the scream of another train pulling free from the throng and towards the light. And then, suddenly, all noise is drowned out by a new sound, one that Londoners will soon grow accustomed to, but this is the first time they have heard its ear-splitting warning. For a moment, the station freezes, caught in a sliver of time. The babies stop wailing. The man stops banging the window. The squeeze box exhales with a breathless sigh. 1,000 pairs of eyes widen. 1,000 hearts stop beating. And then there is chaos. Hands fly up to ears. People scream and clutch at each other. Others gape, bewildered. It's the gas! A bomb! They're coming! Some people throw themselves to the floor, while others blindly follow each other, staggering from one foot to the other, unsure which way to run. People fumble for their gas masks, trying to remember the drill. The straps pinch and catch at their hair. The rubber digs into their faces. The horrible smell fills their nostrils. The crowd takes on a life of its own and surges towards the underground, sweeping everything before it, pushing aside anything that will not join the plunging wave. The girl in the pale green coat is caught up in the rush. She stretches out for her luggage, but it is scattered, and she is knocked one way and shoved another, and then swept along for a little while, all the time trying to reach back with a pale hand for her bags. The policeman is too busy trying to calm the uncalmable to notice that the girl has been swept up by the hoodlums he had his eye on. Now her bags are lost, but at least she has been carried on the tide to the safety of the underground. The siren wails through the empty station. The concourse is a mess of scattered things. Luggage is strewn across the floor like flotsam, bags split open, a favourite teddy has been trampled. The newspapers have toppled to the ground, the thick headlines declaring war smudged and smeared by a myriad of shoes. The ticket seller cowers beneath his desk. The guards and porters have disappeared. The only sign of life is a group of naval ratings who have remained on their platform and are being lined up by a young officer. The officer issues his instructions and smooths his impeccable uniform. The boys do not take their eyes off him, drawing confidence from his easy manner, the authority born of fine breeding and education. They form neat rows of bell-bottoms and white-topped caps. The officer calls out another command, and this time the words echo clearly across the silent emptiness. The wailing has stopped.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?